Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest tonight is Howie Hawkins. And Howie Hawkins ran in 2014 for governor of New York under Green Party. And Howie is going to talk about what he thought of the state of the state. So, Howie, it was 2 hours long. What was your assessment of it?
Well, I don't know how much effort they put into it. I had, you know, business to take care of, so I couldn't listen to it. I heard the first half hour, and then I had to go into a meeting. But I looked online, and some of it was in third person. So rather than the governor saying it's written down the governor said.
Okay.
That was funny. And then I heard some commentators saying it was cut and paste from last year's state of the state address on some sections, word for word. So,
oh, wow.
You know, overall, he had a lot of small things. A lot of them I could agree with. But the things that we're concerned about in the Green Party, like climate change and the growing polarization of wealth and income and the fiscal crisis, because we won't tax the rich, he didn't really address, or he addressed in a way that was far short of what we need.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't make you very happy then, did it?
No, I wouldn't say I'm happy or ecstatic. No, we face really serious problems. The climate crisis is upon us. The polarization of wealth and income just keeps growing. And there's nothing in Cuomo's policy so far or in the state of the state address that really addresses that. It's kind of the Democratic version of trickle-down economics. You know, you give grants to businesses, tax breaks, corporate welfare, and it's supposed to create jobs, and it doesn't. And in any case, the way our economy operates, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, because every time you go to work, you get a wage that's fixed, and all the profits go to a small group of owners, and the workers create that. So our wages have been stagnant for 40 years, while productivity has doubled, which means our, you know, share of what we produce should have doubled, but it hasn't. So the rich are getting richer, and that's just the normal way capitalism operates. We did have a period from World War II until about 1973 when productivity gains were shared, but that kind of grew out of the Great Depression and World War II, and then business just decided there in the early 70s in that recession in 1973-74, no more of that, and reasserted their power, and, you know, workers have been taking it on the chin ever since. So climate crisis, the polarization of wealth and income, health care is just, the costs are unbelievable. And, you know, we have a single-payer bill pending. It's passed the Assembly. It's one vote short in the Senate, and Governor Cuomo didn't say anything about that. So there are a whole bunch of issues where this is just absent, you know, what he said.
Now, if you were going to deliver a state of the state for the Green Party, what would you be articulating at this point?
Well, there are a number of items, and I actually put a op-ed that got published by the Legislative Gazette, and it's online. People can find it. And first thing I called for was the state needs a plan to go to 100% clean energy as fast as possible. We have a study from the Cornell and Stanford professors that it can be done. It's technologically and economically feasible to do it within 15 years. And doing so would create 4.5 million jobs and lower the cost of electricity in half. So why we're not doing that is beyond me. The climate crisis is upon us. We're feeling the impacts, and it could get much, much worse, you know, threatening food supplies, stimulating mass migrations, loss of coastal cities. It's a disaster that is, you know, right at our doorstep. So New York, if it were a nation, would be have the world's 11th largest GDP, $1.5 trillion. This state could provide leadership for the nation in the age of Trump and for the world on climate action and other issues. So that would be one issue. Single-payer health care, a public health care plan. That is something that, you know, we are emphasizing this year as we try to get that one more vote in the Senate, or at least get somebody elected who will pass it. And if it does, we will save the enormous costs of multi-payer administrative waste and monopoly profits by private insurance, drug, medical equipment, and hospital companies. It would be financed by progressive payroll taxes and some surtaxes on the rich, and 98% of all New Yorkers will save money. And in terms of the fiscal crisis, I've done the savings for City of Syracuse and County of Onondaga, and the difference between what that progressive payroll tax would be, which is average 8% of payroll, it's graduated by how much money each employee makes, but 8% is the average. That is less than a quarter of what we now pay these municipal employers and county employers for private health insurance. And the state, I think, would have comparable savings. That's billions of dollars. So single-payer health care. Education. Cuomo's education policy has been a disaster. It's perpetuated this high-stakes testing for so-called accountability of the students, the teachers, and the schools. But what it is a setup. It's a test, punish, and privatize agenda. Of course, the high poverty districts are going to score low. The students will score low. They'll define the students, teachers, and schools as failing and convert them to charter schools, which drain money from the public school system and don't deliver better results. It's a scam. The high-tech testing is, you know, expensive, and it's another way of draining money from the public school system. Beyond that, our schools are among the most segregated in the nation in the metropolitan regions, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, New York City. And what we know works is fully funded, desegregated public education. So that's what we're calling for, fully funding the Foundation Aid formula, which is $4.3 billion behind what was owed, and that came out of the Campaign for Fiscal Equity. The state is resisting lawsuits to try to get that funding back up by the parents of children in the Syracuse and New York City schools and another lawsuit by eight small cities. They're on the wrong side of this question. And the Cuomo administration, you know, has tinkered with the testing, but it's just rebranding. It hasn't changed the policy. So that's another area where we would make major changes. Mm-hmm. Housing is another huge issue. 51% of renters in New York State and 34% of homeowners pay more than the federal affordability standard of 30% of income. The private market is just not producing enough affordable housing. We would like to radically expand public housing, make it mixed income to deal with the segregation of housing, which relates to segregation of schools. And in their European countries, where 15 to 30% of all housing units are provided by public housing. And it's for both middle class and working class and poor people. And that's the kind of public housing we need, good quality public housing. And then for the homeowners, if we restored revenue sharing so the municipalities weren't paying for state programs with property taxes, we could lower property taxes and help the homeowners. And I'll talk a little bit more about revenue sharing when I get to that part. Public transportation needs investment. We want to ban plastic bags, the polyethylene bags, which are energy intensive. They're not part of a clean energy plan, and they're a major source of litter, landfill, and pollution. They never decompose biologically. They break into microplastics. They end up in the ocean. They're consumed by wildlife. If it doesn't kill them, it puts toxics into the food chain and ends up back on our table. And there are many countries that have banned them, like China and India and Italy. We should do the same. And then to pay for this program, I mentioned revenue sharing. New York State burdens local government to pay for 15% of state programs. Every other state pays for its programs, and the percentage of local sales and property taxes going to pay for state programs is near zero. In New York State, it's 15%. We're off the charts, and that's why upstate communities, cities, towns, and counties are facing bankruptcy. A lot of them are Fulton, Syracuse, Albany, Niagara Falls. They're immediately facing serious problems. And that's because we're burdening them, and then we're not sharing the revenues from the state income tax, which used to be 8% of state revenues in the 1970s. Now it's down to less than 0.5%. So we've got to restore revenue sharing so the state pays for its mandates. And then, you know, Cuomo, when he took office in 2011, said, "I'm a progressive who's broke," to explain why he was cutting taxes, spending, and state workers. But, of course, he's broke because he won't raise taxes on the rich, whose taxes have been lowered steadily over the last 40 years while we've had this polarization of wealth and income. The personal income tax, the top bracket used to be double what it is now, and the bottom bracket was half. So they raised taxes on the poor and they cut taxes on the rich. If we went the other way and went back to what we had in the 1970s, we'd raise at least $8 billion in revenue. And that would cover the most dire predictions of our deficit, which is $8.6 billion is what I've seen in the papers. If we kept the stock transfer tax, which is around $15 billion a year, we'd have another $15 billion for these programs we're talking about. We could cut corporate welfare. It's $8 billion a year in this state, and it's not effective. As I talked about before, it doesn't create jobs. It just ends up in the pockets of the rich. And we could save money by a single-payer health care system. So there's lots we can do. There's plenty of money in our economy to fund these progressive programs. But what's missing is the political will down in New York City, which gets to the last thing we'd put in the State of the Union. We need to enact public campaign financing, full public campaign financing. Cuomo talked about a matching fund system. And what that does is leave the private system in place, and then you put a little dollop of public funding on top of that and say you're reformed. It's a reform that doesn't reform. The full public funding model, which Arizona and Maine use, and almost all their elected state office holders use it, is if you opt into the public system, you get a public grant to run your campaign that's sufficient to reach the voters in your district. You don't raise and spend private money. You use only the clean public money. And that's the kind of reform we need to deal with the wealthy special interests that buy our government and the pay-to-play corruption, which has been so prominent in New York. So that's an outline of the kind of state of the state address I would give.
I've been interested in observing politics for many years, and I've heard many speeches. I heard State of the State messages. I've heard State of the Union messages. I've heard campaign slogans. But it seems like the Green Party articulates issues very well that people who are struggling should be embracing, but they're not. And they go to the two parties who fail them time and time and time again. What's it going to take to change that?
Well, I put the burden on the Greens. You know, we understand where people are at. A lot of them don't vote, particularly working class people. They are so disgusted and alienated by the system. They don't think any of the politicians represent them. So they just tune out. It's painful to follow politics when you think you can't do anything about it. So why get worked up about it? They just drop out. We've got to reach those people. And then there are a lot of people who are progressive-minded, like the Green programs, but they think, yeah, we can't win. So they got to vote for the lesser evil, which for most of those people is the Democrats. And I think the way we get around that is by electing more and more people to local office, which we have elected some. We got to break into some bigger cities like Syracuse and Albany and Rochester and Buffalo and New York City. And as we do that, then I think we'll become, in voters' minds, a viable option for state legislature and in Congress and on up the ladder. I think that's the way we've got to go. We got to build from below. So what the Greens have to do is build strong local organizations that run good campaigns locally, elect people, and build on that base. And as
you
we do that,
sorry,
the other thing
go
I
ahead.
Would say is, as we build on that base, we've got to engage and get into active the working class and poor people that have dropped out. Hopefully, as we elect people and do some good things, they'll see that they can make a difference by supporting the Green Party.
Now, you've been involved in politics for quite a while. When you first got involved, I don't think there was a Green Party. What influenced you to get involved in politics?
Well, it was back in the 1960s. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and between the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement, it was hard to avoid. And I come from a multiracial family, a multiracial neighborhood, so civil rights was like personal. I mean, I was outraged when Willie Mays couldn't move into a white neighborhood on the San Francisco Peninsula, you know, like around 1960 or 62. And I'm, you know, 8 or 10 years old. And I thought, I just didn't understand these white people. And so, you know, then as I followed things in 1964, Ronald Reagan was campaigning against a fair housing law that had passed in California, which would affect Willie Mays and others. And they were campaigning to have a repeal referendum, which they did over the course of the 1964 election. And that's how Reagan launched his career and became governor in 1966. At the same time, the Mississippi Freedom Democrats were challenging the segregationist Democrats from Mississippi, and the Democrats sat the segregationists and just offered two honorary seats to the Freedom Democrats, who rejected that. And so I'm asking myself in 1964, I'm 12 years old, where's my party? And my party came along in 1967-68, the Peace and Freedom Party, which was the peace movement and the by now Black Power movement, the Black Panther Party, had combined to form this Peace and Freedom Party. You know, freedom was civil rights and peace was peace in Vietnam. And so I've been, you know, an advocate and participant in third party politics since then. That's how I got involved. It was the issues of the day in the 1960s and just growing up in that era.
Now, do you find it disheartening that so many people back then, the people who are baby boomers, kind of like fell by the wayside and didn't participate anymore? Does that disturb you?
Well, the lack of participation by poor and working class people, they really weren't that involved in the anti-war movement. They were involved to some extent in the Black Freedom movement. But what's more disappointing is the more educated college people that were, you know, student radicals, they went into the Democratic Party, which they'd been fighting over, you know, civil rights with the segregationists in the South and the Vietnam War movement, or the Vietnam War. And, you know, they settled for the lesser evil. And it's been a disastrous strategy because the country has moved to the right on economic justice issues as well as, you know, civil rights and anti-discrimination enforcement since the 1970s. And so I think that's where the baby boomers, the left and liberal leadership, basically decided they were going to throw in with the corporate-dominated Democrats and became basically a tail on that donkey. They did not set the agenda. They actually legitimized the corporate agenda. That's what's disappointing to me.
So what's on the horizon for Howie Hawkins?
Well, we have a gubernatorial election this year, and the Greens have asked me to run again, and I probably will. I'll be making an announcement as soon as we get our, you know, campaign plan together and a timeline and all that.
You just made it now.
Yeah, well, you're not the only reporter that knows I'm thinking about it. I was joking when I was running for mayor of Syracuse that if I don't win this, the Greens are going to make me run for governor, which happened. So, but I'll make an announcement and lay out the issues and give my own sort of state of the state address down the road a little bit. And so the issues I, you know, just outlined earlier are the issues that we'll run on. No doubt there will be other issues that emerge. I know when I ran in 2014, you know, we had a section on education, but the common core and high stakes testing issue was much bigger than, you know, I thought at first. And it spread from, you know, the abuse of high stakes testing to privatize schools in high poverty districts. But you know, the middle class was outraged because it degrades the education. They're teaching to the test instead of teaching all the things kids learn, need to know. And so there may be another issue that's sleeping that becomes a big issue in 2018. We'll see.
Now, one of the things that I've been watching closely, and I'm sure you watch it closely, and that's the New York State Senate, and the fact that there's a schism in the New York State Senate with the Democrats. What's your view of what will happen this year, this 2018 session, to in the New York State Senate?
Well, I know there are talks among the Democrats, but that's happened before. I think the independent Democratic Conference is going to do what gives them the most power. Given that them allied with the Republicans gives them a majority, mm-hmm. given that Simca Felder is going to be with the Republicans no matter what, even though he's elected as a Democrat.
Right.
I think that's probably where they'll end up. After the 2018 election, if the Democrats get a bigger majority, you know, the independent conference may switch back. But in 2018, my guess is they'll be caucusing with the Republicans, feeling they'll have more influence on what actually gets considered. But, you know, I don't worry too much about the Democrats infighting. I'm just trying to get the Greens established as a really viable third party in New York State.
So as your campaign evolves and unfolds, can I have you back on Focus on Albany so you could share your thoughts, your vision, and what you can do?
For sure. Anytime.
Okay. Great. You've been listening to Howie Hawkins, who will be running for New York governor in 2018. This is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Howie, I look forward to talking with you again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Happy New Year.